it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike D'Antilio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Now we're going to go to head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Rybecki. This segment is sponsored weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, the official health provider of Nicholls State Athletics. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach, did you watch a bunch of NFL or college football this weekend? I'm going to ask you right off the bat.
Yeah, a bunch of college games, especially in our conference, getting a chance. There were two games on to see those. And then also tune into some of the bigger games, Indiana, Oregon, and a couple of those in the SEC.
Man, did Oregon get spanked on their own turf, too?
And that don't happen too often.
That don't happen often, man. Signetti, he took them there. But one thing I give him, he is pretty confident in his team.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then you just do a little bit of history on what he's been able to do with the programs he's been a part of, all the way back to, you know, I think there was a Division II program in Pennsylvania, then Elon, then James Madison, and then now with Indiana, he really making a mark everywhere he's been.
Coach, with that week off, able to get some of your guys healthy. I know you got a young football team, and you're playing guys, 20 freshmen across the board, either as true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So also, too, when you have that bye week, gives you a little bit of time to heal up.
Yeah, no question. We'll be big to get some guys back this week who have been banged up, and also even some guys have been pushing through injury to get them back closer to 100%. And then with the young guys, it's so big to build confidence throughout that week and just continue to stack reps so that those guys can play a little bit faster and more confidently come game time.
You know, Tommy, a coach's work is never done. So just tell the fans, like, when you do have a bye, obviously you never get away from football. Like you say, you want to be entertained, you watch that. But then also recruiting never stops. Whether you're watching high school games or you're self-scouting, what can we do better? I think I've talked to you about this, but just explain that again to the fans.
Yeah, bye weeks are big. First, recruiting. You know, this time of year, you're really looking to set the table for signing day in December. And so we spent the beginning of the week getting out to the Mississippi Junior Colleges and then also the Louisiana high schools and really evaluating what's going to be available for that December signing date. And then also getting to some games later in the week and seeing some guys in person that you weren't able to do when you're on the road. And then when you look at your own team, self-scout is so big. You got to know yourself. You got to look and see, hey, what are we doing well? What are the issues that we're having? And then how can we address those issues with the extra practice time throughout the week? And so that's really what we did.
Coach, you know, yeah, with the junior college, they changed the rule last offseason, correct? That basically if you went to a junior college and went to 2 years, you still technically have 4 years that you could play in college football?
So they are still ironing that out. What happened was with the quarterback at Vanderbilt, Pavia, they gave everyone who was at junior college an extension eligibility for this year. So we got a couple guys on our team that would have been done playing who get this last year. And then I think what they planned on was using this time to decide how they're going to handle the junior college years. And I think it's tied up in some courtroom somewhere to figure that out.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Tommy, and you look at the rankings, and you always look, and the solid conference is always going to be represented. You win the conference, you'll be in the postseason. But I want your opinion. I have an opinion on this. why they're always in the hunt. They got some big corn-fed dudes up there, and then they're always able to get individual talent, whether it's from California or whatever. But you know who's always ranked? The Dakotas. North Dakota State, North Dakota, you know, or South Dakota, South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits, the Coyotes, you know, the Bison. I don't know if they call the Fighting Sioux anymore, North Dakota. And then you look Montana Grizzlies, Montana State Bobcats. Those six programs, it seems like they always rank. They never not rank. Is it because, I guess, you look at it's in the middle of nowhere when you look on a map. And they all don't go to Nebraska or go to a Big Ten school. Why do you think the talent pool, because that's a lot of Dakotas and the two Montana schools, that they're always relevant. Now, you know, you might say, well, they're going to move up, like, you know, James
and
Madison.
And it's all not Dakota guys. They're from Minnesota, Iowa,
California.
Kansas. I mean, they spread out all over.
Yeah, Tommy? So what's up with that, Tommy? I know you probably observed that.
Yeah, without a doubt, and credit to those coaches and the people who have been there in the past for building those programs and those traditions that they have. But you're looking at flagship schools. You're looking at North Dakota, who's number one, and North Dakota State, who's number two in that state. Same thing would be true for Montana and Montana State. So when you look at resources that those schools have, man, they're on par with, you know, what the University of Iowa and Iowa State or Indiana, you know, or schools like that that are flagship schools. So I think that helps them develop players that are part of their program. They got a lot of resources to pour into them, and then also to continue to keep those players around as, you know, with the transfer portal, guys are looking to leave and move on. They're able to attract them to be able to stay.
Now, Tommy, looking in the Southland Conference, Texas definitely looks stronger. You know, strong. You look where Louisiana, Texas, all the universities. Being objective, who you think that's been the most impressive so far? Is it Stephen F. Austin or Lamar?
Don't tell him Northwestern.
No, Northwestern. And we lost to Houston Christian. Used to be Houston Baptist. Come on. But to me, I don't know. You know, Incarnate Word, that was impressive at the beginning.
Yes, very much.
But I think this year it might be Lamar or Stephen F. What's your take on that, Tommy?
Yeah, I think both of those schools are at the top. I'm impressed with Lamar's ability to win close games, what they did. I don't know if y'all caught the end of that game last week, but they came back from 10 down and used a penalty there on a field goal try to get ahead and then ran it in off of a fumble play on the kickoff. But they were really in a tight game, and their ability to win those close games really sticks out to me that they got a good football team. And then we'll see Stephen F. Austin this week. They're very talented. They've been playing well. They're good all around, so we'll be able to gauge that a little bit better after this week for sure.
Tommy, I'll get your take on this. Because of what we see the changes in college football, the top recruits, the four or five star guys, you know, you kind of know where they're headed. But I think there's a bigger pool of players because a lot you look at an LSU or University of Louisiana or a Southern Miss, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. They will go into the transfer portal to get an experienced player over the high school guy that's maybe a three and maybe needs a little bit of development. Have you seen that? To me, that would seem to be an advantage to guys like you, Southeastern, McNeese, those teams, where it's a little bigger pool because I think some of those 7 to 8 to 9 scholarships that you would use on high school guys.
They want experienced guys.
Yeah, they go into the transfer portal instead.
And they want the experienced guys, the transfer portal, name them what you like. So, I don't know, Tom, it seems like you could get maybe the better high school athlete.
No doubt. I think you guys are exactly right. The opportunity is in the high schools. There's so many good players who aren't being recruited to the level they would have been 5-6 years ago currently in high school. And so it's a balancing act to go get those guys, get them in your program, because you don't want to be playing with a ton of freshmen, but you got to go get them and you got to develop them and keep them around for a while to mature your team and grow up. But you guys are exactly right. There's more players available in high school now than ever before.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wish you the best of luck this coming Saturday.
All right, I appreciate you all.
All right,
thanks,
Tommy.
So much. That was the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Rybacki. This segment is sponsored weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, the official health provider of Nicholls State Athletics.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.